Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace, what's that? Oh, it's just the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Oh yeah, that's right. Get your ideas out of your head and put them into a blog. So one of my famous songs from the 80s. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. It's true. They are amazing. Try Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS. That's B-O-N-K-E-R-S at checkout to get 10% off. Enter that code BONKERS for bonkers discounts. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Have you seen it? Have you heard about it? I'm talking, of course, about Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp, a Netflix original series. Oh, man, this thing is super funny. I'm a huge fan of Wet Hot American Summer, the movie. If you haven't seen that, stop what you're doing and watch that right now on Netflix. And if you are a fan, here's the deal. 15 years later, the entire cast has reconnected for a prequel. That's right. It's 15 years later, and this movie takes place before the movie that came out 15 years ago. Everyone's back, and it's so fucking good. Amy Poehler, Bradley Cooper, Paul Rudd, Elizabeth Banks, Kristen Wiig, John Hamm, Molly Shannon, Janine Garofalo, Michael Ian Black, Michael Showalter, Christopher Maloney, Ken Marino, Joe Latrullio, Marguerite Moreau, H. John Benjamin, David Hyde Pierce, Jordan Peele, Rob Hubel, and myself. We're all in it. Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp. All episodes are streaming now only on Netflix. Hey, everybody. My brand new comedy special with Rob Hubel has just come out on Vimeo. That's right. For only $3.99, you get to see a live comedy special on a moving bus. That's right. Rob Hubel and I took a moving bus. We drove it around L.A. We bumped into people like Aubrey Plaza, Aziz Ansari, Rob Corddry, Earl Sweatshirt from Odd Future, Jack McBrayer, the Reno 911 guys, Seth Morris doing Bob Duca, Natasha Leggero, Ian Carmel. I mean, come on. This is like the Expendables of comedy specials with slightly less steroids. I beg of you, check it out on Vimeo or go to crashtestshow.com and buy a copy. It's only $3.99. And if you do it, I'll look like a big shot because then I can actually make more of these. We kind of made this very independently and we need all the support we can get. And I know you guys are awesome and you're going to like a special that has music, mimes, and jokes about finger banging. You're not going to want to miss it. Only $3.99. Go to Vimeo In Demand. Check it out. Before we get started with the show, I know how much you all loved Top Dog. You said, oh man, I love the bootleg quality of Top Dog. When can we have another bootleg episode? Guess what? Today. That's right. You're getting your second ever bootleg episode of How Did This Get Made? So sorry that we have two bootlegs in a row, but here's the deal. You know what happened in the last one. Our recorder broke. We didn't have time to go out and buy a new recorder in between shows. We don't work like that. All right. So what we did was we recorded this show, but from the very top. So there's no content missing whatsoever. The sound quality's even a little bit better. I think you're really going to enjoy this because Theodore Rex is quite the movie. And to help us uncover what is actually going on, Blake Harris has done another one of his amazing oral histories that are going to be available on Slash Film. Go to Slash Film, one of my favorite websites on the internet, and you can read the oral history of this movie, which is, in a word, so effed up. I mean, literally, Whoopi Goldberg was sued to be in this movie. But find out more at slashfilm.com. Blake Harris, genius, getting to the bottom of how did this get made. Now, on with the show.
Finally, a movie for people who like to simulate the feeling of a head trauma victim. We saw Theodore Rex, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
to VHS films of all time. Theodore Rex. Theodore Rex, Whoopi Goldberg, and a dinosaur together. If we had all the time in the world, it wouldn't be enough to make this movie make sense. But here to help me make sense of it are my two amazing co-hosts. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. For those of you listening and hearing our shows before, we are on sliding chairs. We can move around the stage with relative ease. Picture us just...
I could be like, what's up, you guys?
Just scooting around. We're on butt roller skates. Rafi!
Everyone needs to calm down.
The 10 o'clock show already rowdier than the 6. Who would have guessed?
I feel like the 10 o'clock show could beat the shit out of the 8 o'clock show.
Really, you guys can take them down. Theodore Rex is a movie that has been, again, a movie recommended that we should do it. We should do it. Something in me has said, no, not yet. Not yet.
I wish you had listened to that voice.
When a movie starts with a Star Wars scroll that is bullet pointed, you know you are in trouble. They can't even get that far in the movie. It's bullet points.
Can you just make that one long thing that makes sense?
No.
Gotta bring it up.
Just disparate chunks of story is the best I can do.
It is, I mean, amazingly, from the moment one to the end of this picture, where it ends simply with a screen that says, see ya.
See ya.
That was fun.
Like,
see ya.
It might as well be, so that happened. Or, genuinely shocked you're still here.
That's sort of what it felt like.
It's like the end of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He's like, you're still here? Go! Get out of here!
Like if the movie ended with, I'm sincerely sorry.
Everyone who made this movie was trying their hardest.
We did this movie at gunpoint.
Which is technically true. I'll get into it a little bit more later. And actually have somebody to describe it quite well. But the very long story short, Whoopi won an Oscar, said, hell no, I'm not doing this movie. And then they said, well, we'll sue you. And she was like, oh shit, I have to do this movie. Because she contractually obligated herself to the film. So yeah, so she was here by duress.
You cannot tell.
I disagree, actually.
Really?
I thought she brought Whoopi. I love Whoopi. And I enjoy watching Whoopi, and I wasn't disappointed. I love Whoopi.
That she was like, I'm not even gonna change clothes.
Well, it could be argued, and we should get into all of this. I think Whoopi's a robot, so the robot wouldn't have to.
But they go undercover. He changes clothes. She is dressed like a policeman while they're undercover. And so she should change clothes.
Why a dinosaur was ever going undercover?
Well,
I don't know.
When the dinosaur goes undercover, and of course, just to kind of give you guys an idea of what this movie's about,
I will please do.
I will
please do.
Honestly,
this movie is about.
Well, this is what IMDb encapsulates, yes. In an alternative futuristic society, a tough female police detective is paired with a talking dinosaur to find the killer of dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals, leading them to a mad scientist bent on creating a new Armageddon. That is technically the plot.
I did think that the plot was actually somewhat similar to Kingsman.
Interesting.
Which is, evil genius wants to kill most of the population, keep some of the coolest of cool,
yeah,
and rebuild society.
But
so the problem is basically a rip off of this.
But this scientist also created these dinosaurs and brought them back,
yes,
to life.
Yes.
See, my main issue with this movie, my only issue really, is that, well, she is so upset that she has to work with a dinosaur, and she keeps on saying, he's a dinosaur, he's a dinosaur, he's a dinosaur. But he's also a talking dinosaur.
In a world where dinosaurs are commonplace. There's a blob, there's a part of town. She's a racist to dinosaurs.
Yes.
Or a species.
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 They say dinatologist in this, so I feel like we're fine saying
it. I think a dinatologist is something else. That's the person who gives dinosaurs a pap smear.
Right?
No. Dino Miscavige. By just doing that, we are on the list.
Sorry, dude, go ahead.
No, but it is strange because it's also a world in which, well, I hated this world. And every time they talked about, like, well, we have to stop this Armageddon from happening, the feeling I kept on getting was like, no, let's start anew.
Yes.
Let's try working.
Let's wipe this out.
Yes, this should go. Yes. Our world.
Everybody except for Drusilla from Buffy should go. I nerds are so easy to play.
Big Drusilla fan, very excited. Way older than I thought she was.
By the way, she looks great all the time. She's ageless.
She is may be an right actual. Now, this year, right now she is 50. This movie, she was over 30 years old.
Amazing.
Which now is the same time she was on Buffy, where she was looked like she was 20.
Yep.
Amazing.
Amazing.
She is amazing.
Calm down, you guys.
You said you had one big issue, you didn't like the world. I also had one big issue with the movie. I thought it was unrealistic that the dinosaur would keep the sneakers in a drawer.
Yeah.
That was my big, I'm out of the movie. Shoes in a drawer. You put them on the floor, on the closet, or by the door.
Well, the dino sneakers, though, to be fair, were not like regular shoes like you or I would wear.
But they're so big that you would especially not put them in the drawer because where you put all your sweaters and hoodies.
Nobody puts sneakers in drawers, period. Except maybe dinosaurs. Maybe that's their gig when they are like reintroduced into society.
The dog that this dinosaur had looked
like a sneaker. This is what's also weird about the world. It's a cosmic world in which dino and soft skin relations are troubled. And this dinosaur is sort of a liaison to the police.
He's a press
dinosaur.
Yeah, they go like, you can't be a cop, but he's okay to work press. Like, you're okay to write our news stories, but you can't bust our crime.
It does seem in this world, though, that dinos and humans are getting along just fine.
Seems like it.
It does seem like it. At a dino funeral, there are humans who are dancing the dances and doing the tribal rituals. It seems that they're actually
wait. I don't think that that's a. They were dancing a dinosaur dance. Is that the dinosaur dance?
Yeah.
All right.
Which one?
when the first dino had died, later on in the movie, the dino that died that started
Rex.
Off. Yes,
you mean Oliver Rex.
Later on.
Why do they all have the last name Rex?
Well, it would be like me being called like Hummy Man. Like my name is Hummy Man.
Wait, why?
Because it's like
Hummy?
Hummy. Because like it's like
why is
Teddy.
Your first name Hummy?
It would be like Theodore Rex is Trent. Oh, I guess maybe not. Right.
Hummy.
Not
Oliver.
Is that like the secret name you always wanted to be called? If you were like, oh, I wish my parents had named me Paul. I wish my real name was Hummy. Hummy Shear. And now you're like, ooh, but Hummy Man would be great.
Because I thought it was like T-Rex. But yeah, I guess maybe it's not Tyrannus.
Well, what's tough is Tyrannosaurus Rex is a kind of dinosaur. But I'm assuming, because his name is Teddy. Teddy Rex. Great.
Theodore, technically.
Theodore Rex. He appears to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex, right?
Well, of course. Yeah.
But is Oliver a Rex as well? Like, is
it
there
looks like it, actually. It
is there a Triceratops
like
who's like Mike Rex or Mike
Fat Top? I think it has to be Mike Top. This gets into Howard the Duck territory. Because Howard the Duck is named after the species. So technically, it should be Teddy Dinosaur. Like,
yeah.
I would be, Teddy Store.
Yeah, I would be more of that. But it all
like Hummy Man.
But I had to say Hummy Man because I want you to call me.
I'm writing it down, so I am writing it.
I am Hummy. My new E series will be on Hummy Man.
Stage name.
Oh, I love that new Hummy Man show. Oh, you know, he used to be called Paul.
Guys, it's the last season of the league. Kroll's in, Duplass, Hummy Man. Everybody's in the show.
The show's really changed. Did you know the first season of the league he's called Paul Scheer, but now he's Hummy Man? And they're humanoid.
They're not dinosaurs.
Yeah. They're from the show Dinosaurs. Like, if you remember that show, you love that show.
I love that show.
missed it in time.
Really?
I'm legitimately unaware of its existence, basically.
Okay.
Well, you've heard the phrase of not the mama.
What?
Not the mama?
I don't know what that is. But is Walk Like a Dinosaur part of it, or?
No. So, Dinosaurs, the TV show, is kind of like Roseanne with dinosaurs.
Isn't that Roseanne?
Bam! Bam! Roseanne with harder skin. So wait, not the mommy was the big catchphrase.
Yes.
Not the mama. Sorry. Sorry, San Diego.
San Diego loves Dinosaurs, the TV show.
Yeah. All right.
Get a life, San Diego.
But it also seemed to me the line of thought was Armin Mueller-Stahl. How did he get involved?
Like a legitimately great actor.
You know Glenn Close is fired from this movie.
In what role?
I will tell you. She was the police chief. And it's real dark. While she got fired. Glenn Close, right?
Yeah.
Glenn Close was originally cast as the police captain, but was fired. The studio said she wasn't maternal enough. Glenn Close says she was fired for resisting Bud Port's advances.
She do not share any scenes in this movie.
Knock, knock, knock on the trailer. Hey,
wow.
It's Harold from Harold and Maude. Let me hang you with you.
That's wild.
Yeah, Bud Port denies the claim. But why would Glenn Close lie? And why would you fire Glenn Close from this movie?
gosh. It's crazy.
And then someone said in the audience, why would you say yes? Okay, so yes.
Question about, see, again, well, what I was saying before was that the dinosaur and human relations seem to be quite strong, and humans, there was a ritual on that dinosaur's funeral where main creature dinosaur was singing a song, and they all sang and danced together, and there were a lot of humans in that shop. But my issue with the dinosaurs was that the only problems they seemed to cause was that they knocked things down with their tails.
Yeah. If you took away the tail joke of this movie, you could argue that this movie was based on the premise, wouldn't it be funny if dinosaurs' tails just knocked down everything? That's 90% of the dinosaur observations in this film.
You'd think that in, because what we understand to have happened in this world is that the mad scientist, Arvin Mueller-Stahl, brought back dinosaurs from extinction and reestablished them in such a way that they are both human size and capable of speech. Right?
Right.
So why not limit their tails?
But
couldn't they foresee the chaos they would cause?
But sometimes the tails are used with precision.
Oh, like, yeah, street hockey.
I mean, no, but also Teddy taps someone on the shoulder with his tail. But in the very next moment, he's knocking over a flower vase. So I don't get it. Because well, like a dog's tail never works.
No, but when they're in their own apartments, like Teddy in the beginning in his own apartment, his tail seemed to, you know, it didn't cause any havoc there.
Is it like a blind person who, like, knows where everything is in their own spaces?
Maybe.
My question was, is Teddy unique? And I think the answer immediately is no, because he's like they're like, oh, Teddy! Armin Mueller-Stahl, like, Teddy! Oh, Teddy! But it's like, did he bring back everyone in that little town?
There appears to be a lot of dinosaurs.
Yes.
A lot. Like they have an enormous society. But he seems to know all of them by name.
Because he brought each one of them back.
And they're all connected through some psychic.
Not all, just some. Because other ones were like, I woke up last night with this dream of Tommy Wiseau's Bizarro brother shooting a butterfly. Which is a character in this movie, basically Tommy Wiseau.
No, I think that all of the dinosaurs were connected spiritually.
You think they all had that vision the night before?
Well, yeah, I do, because she said before the girlfriend...
Molly Rex
said before Oliver Rex had died that she also had a weird feeling the night before.
But when they went to the club and met the gay dinosaur, he was like, man, wasn't that crazy last night? Did you have that vision too?
No, but he may have just dealt with it on his own time.
And that super horny dinosaur who's making eyes at Whoopi Goldberg, he never said anything about Oliver Rex appearing to him in a dream and getting a feeling. He just was making, like, really sexy eyes. Like, that dinosaur was horny. Was horny for Whoopi.
What?
There's Dino on flesh. What are they called? Fleshies?
Soft flesh.
Soft flesh?
Soft skin.
Soft skins? Do you think there's soft skin Dino crossbreeding? Yes? What? What? Hey! You married that? You're doing great.
Here's the deal. Rob Hubel and I made an independent comedy special called Crash Test, and I needed to get the word out. So what did I do? I built a Squarespace website. You can check it out at crashtestshow.com. And let me tell you, I know nothing about HTML. I know nothing about anything, but I built my website, paulshear.com, and I built crashtestshow.com using Squarespace. It makes me feel smart that I can do something that looks so GD pretty. Okay, Squarespace makes it easy, makes it, dare I say, fun. Yeah, anything you want to do, buy the little domain name, make a site for a fake restaurant that doesn't exist. Wouldn't that be fun? That's a fun hobby. I love Squarespace because the sites look professionally designed regardless of your skill level. It's intuitive, it's easy to use, and the state-of-the-art technology that powers your site ensures the top-notch security and stability. It is trusted by millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world, like me, Paul Scheer. And it starts at only $8 a month, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial today. Be like me. Make your websites on Squarespace. No credit card is required for this. Just go to squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code BONKERS. That's B-O-N-K-E-R-S to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Build it beautifully, you dummy. All right. Let's admit it. The last thing that anyone wants to do after work is wait in line at that stupid effing grocery store, okay? You gotta schlep home, you gotta cook a complicated meal. Ugh, gross, it's expensive, it's unhealthy. Why did you even bother? You should have just gotten McDonald's and gotten some high cholesterol and died when you're 47. Wait a second. You don't need to kill yourself just yet because Blue Apron is coming in to save the day. What's Blue Apron? Well, Blue Apron, I have to say, is a fan favorite or a listener favorite. Blue Apron delivers farm fresh ingredients with step-by-step recipes to your home, allowing you to create healthy and handcrafted meals at home without going to the grocery store. What? That's right. For less than $10 a meal, this is actually the coolest thing. You get a box with the food that you want in it with the perfect proportion. So it's like, oh, I need a half a teaspoon of cardamom. They got cardamom in there. I don't know what you need cardamom for, but maybe some sort of a tea. But anyway, all their meals are really balanced calorie-wise. It's only like 500 to 700 calories per serving. So it's tasty too. So you don't even know that you're taking care of your body. You're tricking yourself by eating deliciously. And they work around your schedule and your dietary preferences. So if you have a different thing, they'll cater to you. Blue Apron's experts source only the best seasonal ingredients. So you're going to get different meals for different times of the year. Check this out. Right now on their menu, they have heirloom tomato and Fontana grilled cheese sandwiches with Dijon-dressed summer vegetables and, this sounds delicious, tandoori spiced chicken with green lentils, heirloom eggplant, and cucumber mint yogurt. Yum, yum, yummers. You'll cook incredible meals and be blown away by the quality and the freshness. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. So definitely check it out. You get, here's the deal. You know what? I like you guys. I love you guys. Let me give you something for free right now. You get two meals for free by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. No strings attached here. Two meals for free. Go to blueapron.com/bonkers. How this get made is going to put food on your table. All right? Enjoy it. blueapron.com/bonkers. Eat on us and think of the leprechaun or Tommy Wiseau from the room.
We're doing a new feature on the show, which we've mentioned before, but an author, this amazing author, Blake Harris of Console Wars, wrote a book about the video game wars of the 80s and 90s, is now researching our films and doing oral histories of these films. He interviewed Bruce, the man inside the Theodore Rex costume.
Amazing.
And I wanted to just read you Bruce's first day on set. From Bruce's perspective.
That was just one man working.
One guy did the blanks. That's all he could do was the blank. And the other one did like the body stuff. So Bruce goes, I'm performing the hell out of the blank because basically that's all I got. And it's my first day on a feature film and nothing's worked. And they're just yelling at me to keep on going. So Whoopi looks me right, look, so Whoopi looks right at the camera, which is on my monitor, and then at me, and she goes, is this fucking thing gonna work? And she's looking right at me, and I don't know her, and I just wither and say, we're trying. And she looks at me and she goes, it better. Storms off the set, I go back to my tiny trailer, which is just a honey wagon. I don't know if you've ever been in one, but it's just a toilet with a really sticky bed. And I'm in the fetal position going, it's over, my career is over. I'm gonna have to go home to my wife and tell her, I'm sorry, I tried to do features, but I stink. And Whoopi yelled at me, and I'm never gonna work in this town or on this planet ever again.
On this planet.
The planet is rejected.
Yeah. He's not cutting off the rest of the universe.
I'm gonna be doing commercials on Saturn.
But then he goes to say, eventually, Whoopi became an incredible champion of this insane movie that Jonathan Buell wrote and directed. have no idea what happened to him, but this movie was half-written.
That's harrowing.
So he was just doing the blinks and not the voice.
He was just the blinker, yeah. The voice was done by someone else, I believe. Yes, he was just doing the blinks. Somebody just said his name, but yeah, I'll get it here. Oh my gosh. Guys, I'll get it. Don't worry about it. If you guys aren't on mic, they won't hear you. George Newbert.
It's George Newbert.
George Newbert.
Says the man in the front row.
So basically...
It's George Newbert.
So basically...
Man, who's having the least amount of fun?
George Newbert.
I can't wait to correct them when it comes.
So basically, Theodore Rex was
here to win.
Theodore Rex was three different people. Pons Marr, who was in the suit.
I'm sorry, first name Pons?
P-O-N-S. Pons Marr.
Marr.
Bruce Linoy.
Fake person. Pons Marr.
Pons Marr
sounds like an area of the vagina.
It's what Spock goes through in his sexuality in the second Star Trek or the third one.
Oh, dude.
Pons Marr.
You just gotta play around the Pons Marr a little bit, and then she'll get real into it.
Bruce Lanolin or Bruce Linoy, whatever, he was the guy we just heard from. He was the face performer. Then it was voiced by, of course, George Newbert. That's three people bringing to life this classic character.
I did think there was a missed opportunity for Teddy to really reconcile with the fact that he was really out to destroy his maker.
Yeah. Oh no, if you think about this movie on that level, it is about a man trying to destroy God. You know what I mean? Like, for Teddy, Armin Mueller-Saw is his God.
So this is like this is a very deep film. On a level, for a children's film, it's dealing with who created us, and then can we destroy our own creators?
And also, do dinosaurs get horny?
I think the answer to all of them is yes.
I thought it was crazy that they went to after Oliver Rex is killed, and Teddy gets himself.
Why was Oliver Rex killed? Oh, because he found out information.
Because he found out about the whole thing.
The freezing.
But they go and they're like, oh, we identified him. He lives with Molly Rex. And he's like, oh, Molly Rex. Ooh la la. She's like such a great singer. They go to see Molly Rex.
In a 1940s club. Which is why the dinosaurs have an affinity to that era.
Where she's singing like almost like a, like, I don't know, like a Mae West almost.
Oh, we let's do a little bit of Molly Rex's song. First, I think we'll see a little bit of Whoopi getting hit on too.
Miss Molly Rex! You're my ace in the hole. Hold me, hug your man before the night is gone.
It goes on and on, but I think it gets
the point being, they let this whole thing go on before being like, your husband's dead. They go up to her and they're like, oh, it's so great to meet you. The show is amazing. Oh, your husband is dead, but you are so mad. She's like, what? And it turns out they're just roommates. But I thought it was...
Well, it's hard to tell because everyone's last name is Rex.
Yes.
Are they married? Are they friends? Or is this dinosaur?
Well, they wanted to see her perform.
Who doesn't?
By the way, a lot of dinosaurs in that scene.
Yeah.
Like a lot of
humans.
Yeah, she's like, the dinosaur has human... like servants at the end. But again, it's a children's movie, or at least billed as a children's movie. Why would we want to see like a 1940s club? Like, I feel like when I was a kid, I thought that that's what I would, I can't wait to be an adult and I can have a drink in a 1940s club. And that never really happened. Although I guess now it does with all those fucking artisanal fucking bartenders and, you know, and all that bullshit.
Careful.
Sorry. This place is fine. This place is all about plastic cups.
Don't worry, just wax those handlebar mustaches.
So why do they even assign this dinosaur to work the case?
Because the guy, Summers, who's working with the bad guys, it's the classic, we'll get this dummy on the case because he'll never solve it.
Basically. But it's only happening in 12 hours, essentially.
The whole movie has to be solved by that night.
Which makes no sense.
That's how it always works. Every crime is solved within 12 hours.
And does he also assume that Whoopi will never solve this case, too?
Whoopi is a robot. Have we talked about this?
I was confused about that until the end.
That's revealed in the last 5 minutes of the movie.
There is a line. The lines in our first scene are, I'm sick of always taking you in for repairs. Are you sure your CPU is... are ready for action.
Yeah.
That's the first line.
So
she is a robot. That's not up for debate.
Is she a robot or a cyborg?
Cyborg.
Half robot.
I'm going to say cyborg. I think she was a person who was like a bunch of robot parts were put into.
Like thus, RoboCop.
Thus making her a cyborg or an android?
I don't know. Nice. Android is a humanoid robot. A cyborg is a part human robot.
Cyborg.
Cyborg.
I think so.
Audience says cyborg. Survey says?
Cyborg. So are all the cops in this world cyborgs?
No.
But again, this movie posits something that's weird. So, a cyborg who's
the
part...
The movie's already got dinosaurs.
Why?
We need cyborgs.
Why don't you think you're a badass cop? Because the robot thing only comes into play at one point where she's electrocuted and lives.
Yeah.
That's it. She doesn't use any other robot skills. She doesn't run fast.
Well, I thought of what they were heading for was that the dinosaur is actually got more humanity than Whoopi does. I thought that was going to be the story we were following.
Yep.
That the dinosaur is more emotionally connected to his surroundings than Whoopi is, because she doesn't care that she's not showing up for this kid's game the next day.
But she shows up.
She does show up. That's
it doesn't even seem like a,
not
it doesn't
really
even
really
seem like a game. It doesn't seem like a real organized game when she shows up. It seems like a back alley kind of thing, right? Am I wrong?
It's important to him.
It appears to be an adult.
It's important to him.
They appear to be playing street hockey in a dump.
But in a world that alternates between very rich and not rich, at one point they even say, oh, they're in the ninja side of town.
Yes, which is literally where Asian people live. Literally, that's like the toy maker. He lives in the ninja section, and I was like, what the hell's that? Oh, he's Asian.
And
this is Chinatown,
maker,
basically.
The toy maker is more of a butterfly maker than he is a toy maker.
Yeah, well, with explosives.
I've just written down some themes for us to keep track of. So far, the movie is about humanity, it's about the creation myth, and it's about mother. Am I missing it?
Oh, it's about dinosaur farts.
And bad breath. I mean, dinosaur bad breath is a much bigger...
Here's the other thing about Teddy Rex. Why did the car that he's originally driving, why were there, I know there was a special spot for his tail.
Yeah.
The tail storage section.
Sure.
But then there seems to be almost like a tourist bus section.
Correct.
Where there were seats.
Okay, I have another
question
for you. Why was it possible, what would you need this function for the seat, the passenger seat, to raise all the way to the roof of the car. I said, do you need me to raise your seat, Booge? And she goes...
You can see that Jason just risen to the roof of the trailer.
I'm gonna hurt myself. Bong! And he's like, get me down.
Well, I'm gonna answer...
Satisfied.
I'm going to answer both of those questions. For first of all, Jim, you asked, why does he have a tourist section in the thing?
Well, yeah, where is there seating?
Okay, here we go. He's a press person. He runs a tour very similar to the TMZ tour in Hollywood. People get on, you gotta make money. Jason, you have a question about the seat going up and down. What if he wants to give a ride to that little guy who lives in the suitcase?
I love that guy.
You win. That is my favorite performance.
I love
that. That guy was amazing.
And the guy in the back.
That was genuinely very funny.
Very funny.
Very funny.
I would wish Puppet the Feet was about the guy in the bed.
Let's take a look at the puppet in the box. I believe this is the scene here with the puppet in the box.
Yeah.
You're 4 inches tall and you're giving us hot?
A nightmare hair. Take Mrs. Lips and get out of here.
Take that.
Fuzzy! We got trouble! Fuzzy! Fuzzy.
Oh, Fuzzy!
I don't
know. Oh!
Who? Hot dog. Ah, Cobb, I'm out of here.
What?
Follow me. Let's go, friends. I'm on the way. We're going now. It's a movie.
That's that. This movie's terrible. Not since...
I don't want to watch any more clips.
Not since The Dark Crystal has the Henson Company been so unhinged in their creation. These are Henson, I believe, Muppets.
No.
There are maybe not Henson. Alright, sorry, dinosaurs. The people who made dinosaurs. I don't know who those people are, but those are the people. Just so you know, the director retired from the business after this movie. And according to a Reddit thread, and Wikipedia and some research, no one knows if he is alive or dead.
The director,
writer of this film. There is no record of him. He is off the grid, Jesse Ventura style, in Mexico, powering his solar-powered house. He has left this planet.
That's amazing.
But this guy who wrote this, he wrote the movie The Last Starfighter, which is a great movie. And My Science Project. He directed My Science Project. Pretty cool.
Why does this future world have a, in the police station, the ability to stand on a thing and have a woman type into a computer and instantaneously change your clothing to go undercover? And when your clothing is changed, you speak in the accent,
that was
the stereotypical accent of that dress.
See, but I think Theodore Rex was genuinely gifted at voices because he does impersonations later on in the movie.
True,
but not enough early on.
I think not enough. But I think the machine didn't do that to him.
He does all the impersonations. Italian, Mexican, Schwarzenegger, all the classic.
Nicholson.
There's a Nicholson.
And I really want to ask this because they are together for the whole movie. Why doesn't Whoopi get put in other clothing? They're supposed to be undercover.
Wait a second. But
she's wearing a badge.
Yes, but let's even look at the better. Wait. Here's the better question is, why do they settle on this outfit? I know you don't want to see a clip, but our audience may.
I really don't want to see a clip.
They go from Teddy Rex essentially in a jacket, a sweater, and a vest, and pants. And then just switches to another jacket, a sweater, a vest, and jeans. Like, I mean, there's like the dress, this is what he, that's
and the color palette is the same as well.
Yeah.
I will say he
does. Because he's in autumn.
He looks younger.
He looks younger, yeah. I guess that's... So I guess they wanted to age him up?
I don't know.
Do you think they were trying to put him undercover with, like, young people?
I don't know.
So he could, like, fit in better? But that's the thing is, he goes undercover, but he never goes anywhere undercover. Everything they do is, like, they jump through windows, they cause problems wherever they are. They never They never try and infiltrate someplace like where we belong here.
Not once. Well, the whole thing of dinos wearing clothes is interesting because they're dinosaurs. So why they're wearing clothes at all at any time is confusing. But then...
Well, they want to just hide their junk. What was that dinosaur going to do to Whoopi in a sexual way? Because I've seen dinosaurs. I've seen
what?
All of the...
Oh, the show?
No. The Steven Spielberg documentaries.
Oh, sure.
About that island. And I've seen all of them, and none of them have penises. I've never seen a dinosaur with a penis.
I can send you some websites.
But what, like, I mean,
I'll show you some personal drawings that I've done. They are huge. And have, like, barbs on them.
Here's a sad little fact about the movie, just a fun little thing to think about. That, our researcher, Nate, Kylie, found a blog posting in 2012 that someone found the original costume of Theodore Rex at a thrift store.
That is depressing.
So that's that.
This is ostensibly, I believe, a kid's movie, right?
100%, yeah.
Now, what is the bad guy's plan? Was indecipherable to me. Never mind a child.
Who's, by the way, we're looking at it critically, trying to take notes on.
Yeah. But maybe they just assume, like, oh, kids aren't going to give a shit about any of that stuff. They just want to watch the dinosaur fart.
But then I go, why wasn't there more farting?
I wish. But they did say butt trumpet. Which is like a personal favorite of mine.
My issue with this movie also is Whoopi Goldberg, at this point in her career, before she was a staunch defender of Bill Cosby, she is funny. Sister Act. She's very funny.
Very funny.
She doesn't do, or is not allowed to be funny in this movie. She doesn't.
That's one monologue that she delivers, and it is very funny.
I think she delivers it well. I don't think it's funny, though. Where she goes in and goes, hey, what? You guys are here? What's going on? I think that Whoopi
Goldberg... By the way, great Whoopi impression.
Thank you.
No, you're right, though. She doesn't have a lot of comedy. He does.
She has no comedy. Why would you take the straight man role? Why don't you do it like 48 hours? Give her something to do. She chooses to be a robot.
She is a robot. Let me explain something, huh? Yeah. She is a robot.
Okay, here's a very real question. We've seen this world for most of the movie, and it has a certain color palette, and it looks a certain way. And then at the end, when they save the day, and the world's not going to be destroyed, all of a sudden they shoot outside, and everything's green.
Yeah.
And everything's beautiful. What happened?
I don't know. Well,
are we
the other thing is most of the movie takes place at night. You know? And a lot of the movie is like...
Well, to hide, I imagine, the scenes on the dinosaur costume.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet the dinosaurs don't look great in the day, light of sun.
I'd argue that dinosaurs don't look great in the darkness of night either.
That I didn't see any of the scenes on Richard Roundtree's costume. He looked like a real human being. Almost flawlessly done. Armin Mueller-Stahl is a famous name that I know, but I don't know why he is famous.
Oh, he was in Avalon. He was in, like, there's like a million movies that he was in that era of time. We're good. Name two.
Wolf.
There you go.
Wolf and Avalon. Oh, of course they don't like that. Why can I? Those two. Yeah, all right, now. No, but no, I know. How did they escape the big explosion?
Why were there clones?
We should just do this. Just ask questions for as long as we can.
Because I want to make sure everybody understands that not only are there dinosaurs, not only is Whoopi a cyborg, there are clones who are...
I'm starting to think there are no humans. Original humans on this planet.
I like this. What do you think happened to humans?
I think he's the only one left.
Armin Mueller?
Yes.
Wait, no. Richard Roundtree is not a clone.
How do you know?
Wow. Good question. Did not think of it.
Now we're getting into it.
Wow.
Now we're playing with power.
I don't know. I do think if I was Richard Roundtree, though, I wouldn't put my desk at the top of the stairs. Like, literally, his office desk for being the police chief is at the top of a busy stairwell. Like, you almost have to walk around his desk. Like, they walk upstairs, and he's like, hey! But it was, you would want your office to be off to the left or the right. He's right at the lip of the stairs.
The other thing, I want to go back to the machine that makes you get undercover clothes. The woman's name is Ella, who's manning the machine. And Teddy's like, hey, Ella, how you doing? Okay, here we go. So, does he do this all the time?
Well, that's why he's so good at voices.
In my mind, when he first called, when he woke up from the dream that night, it's always night, when he woke up from the dream that night in the very beginning of the movie, he calls the police station to just find out, like, anything going on. I think he was speaking to Ella. Because her voice sounded very familiar.
I just thought, all right, that's good.
I will say this, though.
Don't play that clip, Paul. Do not play that clip.
I think everyone wants to see...
Play that clip.
Oh, Judith's getting mad. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. I'm on my first case, huh? How about that?
That's wonderful. Look at that.
Thank you.
I'm a dinosaur.
Yeah, right, that's right. Look, I've got to blend in, okay?
Oh, go to the zoo.
Ella.
Step right up. Go ahead.
All right, here I go.
I want to talk about this before we even
ready?
End the history. Throughout the whole movie, you saw what he just did there. He walks up, he goes, stepping up, like in the house, like, I'm walking around. And I think that his costume is so bulky that he's just gotta kill time.
That's exactly what it is. Because it takes him so long to move from one place to the other, they fill that time with either him self-narrating or him going, doopy-doopy-doopy-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-
out of that suit. Like under his breath. Like... All right, here we go. Just more of the cut this for you. Here we go.
Okay. Ella, this is not undercover. Push the button. Ella, undercover, por favor, please. Oh, Ella, 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 check up undercover now.
He's a cop. We gotta make him look like a real cop.
Oh,
Ella.
I'm getting a wee bit of breeze in my lowlands, lassie. Work with me, will ya?
Yes, bagpipes.
But I'm just hearing that line right now. He's going undercover as a real cop?
I just
yes, that too.
So wouldn't he just be dressed like Whoopi? Because she's dressed like Whoopi.
Or dressed like any other of the cops we've seen, i.e. a suit.
Well, I'm going to go with what Ella's dressed like, which is kind of like a looser-fitting scarf, like, what is it, why am I forgetting the Avenger? Who's,
Black Widow?
Black Widow. Because yeah. Whoopi is in full Black Widow costume.
Here's the other thing is, this scene only serves to illustrate that Ella is terrible at her job.
No, it's just like that fun.
He says, I'm going undercover, and she does,
opera singer, Italian opera singer, sombrero wearing a Mexican, bagpipe playing Scottish.
And Hawaiian.
And a Hawaiian, yes. Grass skirt Hawaiian. Like, that's not undercover.
I think Ella is having fun.
And she's totally taking the piss out of him.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, yeah, you're going undercover, but you know what? You really need to go undercover your brains. You don't need the outfit. It's all up here already. It's inside you. You had it all along. Ella is the moral compass of this movie.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe it now. You've proven you're wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad. See you later.
Take care, honey, man. See you.
All right, here you are. Picture yourself. Close your eyes right now. Even if you're driving, close your eyes. You're walking into a grocery store. You find an aisle of snacks personalized just for you. Wait, what is this? All your favorites in one place? Sounds amazing, right? But what about this? You didn't have to go to the grocery store. You didn't even have to leave the couch. Well, well, well. This dream is a reality. You don't have to wake up because NatureBox is going to do this for you, okay? NatureBox says, you know what? You want a snack. Give in to that temptation, but in a smart way that makes you feel great. NatureBox has the most delicious snacks on the planet. It's as simple as that. Now, I love getting the NatureBox box because I know inside there's some delicious snacks and I hide them. I hide them because I eat them so quick. I want to be like, I got to save some for a little bit later. It's so good. NatureBox makes your snacking dreams a snacking reality and they will change everything forever, okay? And right now you can enjoy your first box of NatureBox snacks on them, but only at naturebox.com/how. And if you act facts, now hear what I'm saying to you? Get your first box free on us. They said them. I said on us. Okay? So head to naturebox.com/how right now. Unbox a world of taste and possibility. That's naturebox.com/how for your first box free. These are tasty, hand-picked snacks that you want to have. So good. Everything I have there is delicious. Oh, you're going to love it. Go to naturebox.com/how. Pick your snacks. Get your box. Do it. Snack outside of the box, but inside NatureBox.
All right, I think that we have covered a lot, but I think there's maybe the audience would have some questions about this movie. If you have a good enough question, you will walk away here today with an official sci-fi David Hasselhoff bobblehead that was sent to us by the Sci-Fi Network, who I guess is a fan of our show, but not a fan enough to put us in Sharknado 3. So, good questions, get them. Raise your hand, get a question. Okay. All right, here we go, sir. Your name, what your dinosaur name would be, and your question.
Nicholas Rex.
Good.
Is that Diane the Corbusel in person that came on TV?
Hey, that's my wife, come on.
Let the man speak.
The beginning of the movie has a scroll. Do you think that after the movie was made, it makes sense in the movie, or do you think they had the whole time that it the scroll being in the front?
That's a good point. I feel like they said, hey, these are the bullet points we need to cover in the scroll. And then they ran out of time, they just fucking put the bullet points.
Doesn't the scroll say something about two people coming?
I can play it.
Please don't.
Look, we're trying to figure out to get the answers here. All right, so this is the opening of the movie.
How do you do a balcony?
Remember, balcony, you can come on down to ask a question.
Yeah, if questions are happening now, balcony, you guys come down here and come right in the middle and we can ask you questions.
All right, let's break it down.
Only yeah. Make that travel if you think your question is good. Don't be a fucking dildo.
Here is the opening. Here we go.
Once upon a time, in the future. At midnight tomorrow, billionaire Eleazar King will launch his new Eden missile to bring on another ice age. After mankind is extinct, Kane will reanimate the pairs of all Earth's animals he keeps frozen in his ark and create his vision of paradise. 1 hour ago, two workers escaped from the New Eden compound and are racing to tell the police about Kane's master plan.
Okay, so that was Oliver and the
Now I get the movie way more.
But what's really wild about that is that's a crawl. That makes me believe that came after the movie. Because that crawl does something most crawls don't do, which is tell you the plot of the movie ahead. Usually crawls tell you where we're starting from. And this one is like, in the future, Kane is gonna set off a bomb to create a new ice age and start a new civilization, hopefully in the course of this movie.
But it's hard to get all that information at the top. I'm back here. To get all that information at the top because you've
stop
just,
taking pictures.
Because you just, you're not in yet. You don't know any of these details.
Yep.
I lost all of that.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
All right, man. Your dinosaur name, your real name, and your question.
I have not a dinosaur name, but a tagline for the movie.
Okay, is that right? Sure, play that game.
Dinosaurs,
winosaurs.
Why did the dinosaurs eat all of the people in the world?
Why didn't they?
Good question.
Yeah.
Why didn't they?
Or why didn't they eat each other? Like, why weren't the carnivorous dinosaurs eating the herbivores? Like, why wouldn't they attack?
Were there meat-eating dinosaurs?
What's that?
Were there meat-eating dinosaurs?
Sure, like a Tyrannosaurus Rex is a carnivorous
dinosaur.
Yeah,
but they were eating plants and flowers.
Do you think
were herbivores.
Do you think that dinosaur that was sitting on Whoopi wanted to eat her?
Well, I don't know, but at one point, Theodore Rex does say, I'm going to eat him.
Oh, right.
He says that about someone.
Yeah. Oh, at the toy maker.
Right.
He says, I'm going to eat this guy as a kind of threat, you know. Maybe that's
that
a horny dinosaur.
This guy gives
a horny dinosaur.
What does he
say?
He says, gone are the days of running brachiopods in the valley.
What's that?
The days of available brachiopods being able to be eaten are gone.
Fair enough.
By the way, the best information so far.
A title that exists in this movie, a dinosaurologist.
I like someone who brings notes, so I'm going to people with notes. Sir, your dinosaur name or tagline, and everyone's had plenty of time to think of your dinosaur names. You have your hands up, dinosaur names. All right, do you have a tagline? A better title? Just give me your name. What's your name? Matt Rex. Okay, Matt Rex.
I just wanted to say, cookies.
Cookies. Right. This dinosaur loved cookies. And they all love cookies.
Well, he's very childlike. Like, there are also toys in his apartment.
Doesn't he have a machine that shoots cookies at him?
Yes. And he looked
at it. Could be considered maybe a cookie robot?
Like a pasta robot.
Maybe like a pasta robot.
But he says, macadamia, awesome. As if he doesn't know what the cookie machine is going to shoot out. I kind of want that machine.
Me too.
So, do you have anything else? But cookies is already great. You don't have to talk.
I was going
to
say shoes in the drawer. Definitely has to bring me off like the right color.
If the shoes weren't in the drawer, this would have been a $100 million movie. All right, this guy's got his iPhone out with pictures up. What is your question?
My question, I wanted to show the blurry resemblance of Teddy Rex to Jordan Catalano of My So-Called Life.
Well, please send this to us at How Did This Get Made of Earwolf, but I'm going to hold it up pretty high. It is Jordan Catalano from My So-Called Life and Teddy Rex. Their blue eyes
are
amazing. If you do this at home, that's worthy of a bottle. Alright, what do we got over here? This guy's got a notebook, a whole big notebook. He's opening it up and unzipping it. Alright, here we go. Your name, your dinosaur name, and your question.
My name's Greg. I guess I just beat Gregosaurus.
Great. Like that behind you, but I like it. It's fine.
You guys haven't yet talked about Teddy's temper. Just despite his saying that he doesn't like violence at all.
He's very violent.
But he's violent to the wrong people. Like, that when he's being, he never roughs up those red-eyed guys when they're there, but he gets mad at, like, friends. I feel like he gets
his
mad
at... His nearest and dearest.
Yeah, and that I thought was strange. I expected there to be a moment where he snapped and, like, killed a bunch of people.
Wouldn't it have been great if there was one scene where he did bite someone's head off?
Awesome. It would have been awesome.
I think it would have worked in the film. Why not bite? Because they don't show you how they got Armin Mueller's skull. Like, he just kind of lowers him down and then turns it off the device.
Yeah.
Why did he just bite his head off? All right, here's a question. Sir, your name, your dinosaur name, and your question.
My name is William Stegosaurus.
Nice.
Sick beard, bro.
I just want to know, so the long-haired henchman, I don't know if he was ever properly named, but he...
Mr. Edge,
his earlobe is really weird shaped.
Yeah.
I just want to know why.
He had, like, the inverse ears of, Jupiter Ascending, Channing Tatum. He had, like, dog ears going this way. It was weird.
Droopy dog ears. Do you have something to add to that or no?
No.
Alright, what's your question? You really pointed out to me this is going to be a good question, so hold on, break some stuff. What's your name, your dinosaur name, and go?
Polaranosaurus.
Great.
Yes. Alright, so...
I'll hold the mic.
So you were talking about how Teddy was trying on different outfits, and you said you meant to say that it was a sombrero on a Mexican, but you said it's a Mexican on a sombrero. So I wanted to know what that looks like.
Well, I think, first of all...
So I said that?
Yeah.
You got busted, man.
Oh, man.
You got busted.
Bro, you fucking got me.
Mexican on sombrero, what would that look like?
Wow.
Hey, what would it look
Didn't
like?
Didn't I say a Mexican with a sombrero friend?
No. Probably.
Damn it.
Busted.
Busted.
Busted, man.
I would like to offer my sincerest apologies to everybody in this audience.
But seriously?
For that misspeak.
Seriously? What would a Mexican on sombrero look like? We don't even have the capabilities to imagine such a thing.
But our fans can make it on Photoshop and put it online.
All right.
Don't do that, guys.
What is your name, your dinosaur? What's your dinosaur name, your question?
My name's Catherine. My dinosaur name would be Catceratops.
Ooh, nice.
My question is, if they were to have cast in Nicolas Cage or John Travolta in this, who would be the chief and who would be the Theodore Rex?
Okay, if we were to apply the casting of Aesop. Amazing question. I need to get that bobblehead.
That's a bobblehead question.
If you were to apply the casting of Aesop, John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, into this film, who
it's hard
would
because when I think of Aesop, I think of. Well, I think of their. I think the better question is which character in Aesop?
Here's no, no, no. We don't think about face-off. We have to think answer. About the actors. We're just applying them.
Here's my answer is
oh,
this.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
I would cast Cage as Whoopi and Travolta as Theodore Rex. When they switch for most of the movie, I'm getting a dinosaur acting like Nicolas Cage. Which to me, I think is maybe the best movie ever.
First of all, let me just say, for people like the guy about the Mexican on the sombrero, the original question really was just, if we could recast it with Nick Cage and John Travolta, who would be cast in both roles? We don't have to make it like Face Off.
Oh!
I like when you pitch a lot.
I'm sorry.
I would say that Travolta has the Good Will dinosaur and Nick Cage is the beaten down cop.
I agree with you.
Sure, I think that's obvious casting, but sure.
But can they change faces?
I mean, I think
That would be great.
I just would love for them to change faces.
I'm going to a notepad. When you have the notepads, I feel like you've at least put some thought into it. When I don't have a notepad, I get a Mexican and sombrero question. All right, so here we go. Yes, sir, your name, your dinosaur name, and your question.
Name is Jeremy. Dinosaur name, I'm going to go a different route, Gerasaurus Sex.
Oh, Gerasaurus Sex.
Horny.
And my question is, at the beginning of the movie, this might fall into the shoes in the drawer situation, but why at the beginning does Teddy go to take a shower, but he puts four rubber ducks as though he's going to take a bath, and they cut three in the shower? I know that they can fit in the bathtub, because we see Molly taking a bath later.
Also,
wow,
why
great four, question.
Why four rubber ducks?
Why four?
I think to show that he's doing well financially. Shower and there's just rubber ducks on the floor in the tub.
Maybe he likes it because it reminds him of being in the jungles when he was originally a dinosaur.
He wasn't though.
Oh, you're right.
He was not, unless he has shared memory. Unless he is tapping into Carl Jung's collective unconscious.
Well, he does tap into collective unconscious to see the memory.
And there's a really disturbing line in the movie where I'm not sure what the scene is, but he just shouts out, "I don't have a mom." And he doesn't. He has no history.
They feel like the first generation of like test tube dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But he and Molly are gonna fuck.
Like, if he can pull the trigger, I don't feel like he's ever gonna pull the trigger on her. But by the way, he's like young. He's young. He's probably only 5 years old.
No. Paul, the outfit he's wearing before he transforms, he's dressed as an elderly man.
He's learning the ways of this new world, you know? He's coming in like Orc from,
Mark? From Orc?
No, sorry. Whatever Orc's, Mork's son, Murph.
Oh, John.
He's coming in like Murph. Yeah, he's coming in. Wow, really, that's a really super old reference. All right, so.
No, Pam, you guys all know Pam Dogger, right?
Pam Dogger? My sister Sam.
Mark Ruben's wife?
All right. I'm going to meet you. See the, no, no.
No! She gave up on her question?
That's a All right. She has an image. We have an image here. Okay. Your name and your dentist.
Sheila. Sheila Dactyl.
Ooh, Sheila Dactyl.
Dactyl.
Okay.
X. When he died.
Dinosaur.
And this is the reporter scene. So I'm wondering if this is maybe the not so distant future because she appears
selfie stick.
I saw that selfie stick too. There is a selfie stick. A selfie stick reporter. That is pretty amazing.
There's always, like, same thing in Runaway, same thing, there's a theme in a lot of our movies where press has unfettered access to crime scenes.
They can just walk right up, I mean, that seems like they just, well, first of all, it seemed like a lot of lights, like they had, like, rigged a bunch of lights to get that dino side. Yeah, she got right in there.
Oh, yeah.
Who has a really good question? Man, that's our final one.
Really good.
Jump in here.
Really good.
Yeah. Run with a jumper. Sometimes I get nervous with a jumper. But
do you think your husband's question is good? You're asking me, like, don't make a fool of me.
Remember, this is for the benefit of everyone, your question. So what do we got? Okay, the jumper. Come into the jumper. Come over here. Come closer to me. All right. Your name, your question. Here we go.
I'm Pat. So there's a scene where there's the coroner scene where we see that he starts having convulsions over the body and then finds the shrapnel. And then prior to that, you find out that all of the dinosaurs live in a specific part of town. And you find out also that he graduated from the police academy, yet he would be the first police dinosaur. So what I'm trying to get at is, is this entire movie a metaphor for the civil rights movement?
You cannot deny a jumping question.
No, that's a good question. Could you say, could you apply hashtag Dino Lives Matter? What, too soon? No?
I mean, I don't want...
Interesting.
I don't...
Oh my God! I can't believe he said that!
I can't think we can top that question, but people still have their hands up. All right, wow.
I'm asking, wait, I want to know right now, do you trust his question? Paul, will you ask this man his question?
All right.
I see three
very confident people. Where's this man?
This man right here.
Right here, sir.
What's her name first?
Her name?
Jessica.
Welcome, Jessica. What's your man's name?
Patrick.
What would you call him if you were done?
I didn't think ahead.
Patrick, what's the question? And dinosaur name would be Adam.
It'd be Patrick Raptor.
Okay. Ooh.
So Theodore Rex has an apartment with amazing square footage. She's got a great floor plan, so there's some great real estate for dinosaurs. Yet there's a really bad automobile selection. And I'm wondering why do they have such great floor plans for apartments and yet no selection for automobiles and they have to ride in dumpsters?
Patrick, I have an answer for that. And it's a totally fine question. Jessica, you did well.
Jessica.
Those are the cars the police are giving him. That's not his private car.
And the police dinosaurs aren't police.
Yet.
Yet.
Like, he's the first, right?
Yeah.
So he's a press reporter for the police?
Yeah, he's like
a press releases.
He's like a PR person, I feel like.
Oh, wow. All right.
I thought he was a sort of special liaison for relations between police and dinosaurs.
Oh, interesting.
Oh. So he's basically Uncle Tom. He's selling out. He's selling out his own people.
See, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because I think he's a I think he's a PR person for the police, and they allow him to work his first case.
But by the way, as a PR person for the police.
Yeah.
Jason, as a PR person for the police, what does he do?
I bet he gives press conferences.
He doesn't do shit. Like they're being protected in the city and that they have a voice.
So he really is an Uncle Tom.
Wow, like I see it.
Wow.
All right, sir, you have a question. Here we go. Let's see.
All right, my name is Bennett and my dinosaur name would be Benchiosaurus.
Nice.
Okay, and my question is, I think the most unsettling line was towards the end when Buffy was asking the undercover government guy.
Drusilla.
She said, do you have any diseases that run in your family? And he said, just big feet.
Oh, that was super creepy. I wrote that down. I forgot what that meant when I just wrote big feet.
Really gross.
Yeah, like, gross. But that
guy was tell that guy's dick is tiny.
All right, I think this is going to be my final question. Come over here. Come to me. All right, ma'am, your name, your dad's right here. Your question.
My name is Michaela, and I'd be, I guess, Michaelosaurus Rex. My question is, so in this universe, basically they're cloning animals. That whole scene where they're like releasing the new raccoon and all that stuff, right? So it's just dinosaurs, humans, and dogs. Like, why are there dogs if there's not raccoons or any other animal? I mean, are there cats, like?
I hope not. Oh, I hate cats. Cats can straight up go far.
I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason to who's going for the next.
The problem with a movie like this is that. Sorry, believe it.
Okay.
Paul,
you're right.
Paul.
I'm back.
Thank God.
David Blaine's out. I'm back. The problem with a movie like this is that you know nothing of the world, yet they treat like we're Mad Max Fury Road. I know nothing of that world. I don't care. I just know the amount I need to know to enjoy the movie. Here, I know nothing, and it seems like I need to know a lot about this world. But I need to read a book before I saw it.
kind of world building that like Pluto Nash had.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like in that it was inexplicable, random, and did not add up. And I was very upset. Like it's a legit question. Is this a world with no animals that they are slowly reintroducing cloned animals into? But Adam was a cloned man. So
out. There's still many more, but we will not have the time or the answer.
I'm sorry, are they on Earth even?
We don't know. Is this Panem?
No. Is this what?
Panem? Is that it?
Panem?
We had to think about this movie, but there are people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for second opinion. Guys, I'm going to turn it over to the San Diego audience. You guys sing the theme, whatever you want it to be. It'll be recorded for this show only. Go. Sing a theme.
Not being the second
opinion. Like hundreds of people yelling and...
Wait, can I ask you a question? Is there legitimately somebody with a good voice who thinks they could sing a second opinion theme song?
Right now, America's Got Talent.
One person, do it. One person who will walk to the front and sing it into this microphone?
Going once, going twice, all right, that was a great song. Here we go. Amazon reviews, these are 5-star reviews, pulled from Amazon, here we go. This one is, this movie's funny. I don't know why they make it sound like Theodore Rex is so stupid when he's just clumsy with his tail. This is a good movie for kids of all ages, 5 stars. By Alan, A-L-O-N.
Alone.
This one, 5-star review. I love watching Whoopi's movies. Some people, they don't like her or see that she has talent. But that's their loss. The movie was cute and almost good enough for kids to watch. Parents, you need to check this movie out first.
For what purpose?
I think people underrate Whoopi. She's got a lot of talent and brings a lot to a film. Okay, sure. It was a little cheesy. So what? If you're a real Whoopi fan, it wouldn't bother you. 5 stars. Linda Alla. She really, like, kind of like, hey, look, some people don't like Whoopi, it's their loss. I'm going to talk about the movie. Let me get back to that Whoopi thing. You know what? Okay, you know what? You should like her. Fuck you. So much happening there. This one is 5 out of 5 stars. If you saw Die Hard, the TV show that Henson did on TV, then you'll enjoy this movie. And what's not to like about Whoopi? She makes anything bad good. If you like Whoopi, buy this VHS, and I'll look out for the DVD. Yo, Whoopi, you rock.
You're gonna be looking a long time for that DVD.
And this one is, every now and then, it's worth looking through the 1-star reviews, because there wasn't many 5-star reviews. And the 1-star review here I just like is, from Helen Caswell. If you are one of those people who think, poor Whoopi, remember this. She cashed the check. She lives in a mansion. And she ripped off moviegoers. I still got my money's worth enjoying this wretched piece of Hollywood excrement on purpose to laugh at it. One Star by Helen Caswell. I just want to, we talked about this, obviously you can read the big Q&A article when it comes out, and I'll talk about that more when we actually know where it's going to be at. But this is a great explanation of how this movie actually got made, and it's not coming through just a walkie-talkie.
Thank you.
You guys are all safe to leave the building. This is the Billy Joe Bob Briggs explaining the whole movie in a very succinct way. Here we go.
Back to Joe Bob's Last Call and Theodore Rex on TNT.
Okay, here's how this turkey happened. The script for this was written by Jonathan Bettwell, the guy who wrote The Last Starfighter and he directed My Science Project. And he sold it to New Line Cinema for $1.1 million just for the script. And then in 1992, Whoopi Goldberg read the script and she said she would do it. And then Sister Act came out, and Whoopi was famous again, so she decided she didn't want to do it anymore, so she backed out of it. So the producers sued her for $20 million because they had been going all over the world making these deals with foreign countries based on Whoopi Goldberg starring in the movie. And then that Kim Basinger case happened, remember that, where she was sued for agreeing to star in Boxing Helena, and then she backed out, and the court made her pay $7 million to the producers, so Whoopi thinks, ooh, I don't need that, do I? And so she settled this case. She said, okay, I'll star in it, but only if you delay it a year and you pay me $7 million. And she was accused of just going through the motions to get this baby finished, and then they did finish it after the budget now went up to $35 million, and it was supposed to open in the summer of 1995. And then it was supposed to open at Thanksgiving of 95. And then Christmas of 95. And then January of 96. And then March 29th, 1996, which was 4 days after Whoopi hosted the Academy Awards. They figured, well, they'd get some good mileage out of the Academy Awards. And then March 29th came, and the movie did not open. It is officially the most expensive direct-to-video movie in the history of the world.
$35 million, and I think every penny is worth it. On the screen. All right, guys, any cover? Would you recommend watching this movie?
I just don't think so.
Yeah.
It doesn't rise to the level of being that fun. You know?
Yeah.
It's free.
You know what? If you want to watch like the first couple of scenes, and if you are at all enjoying yourself, kill yourself?
If you find this the most entertaining thing you can find for free on the internet, you do not know how to work the internet.
Yeah.
June?
Yeah, and I had trouble watching those clips.
Yeah, really? So I've never seen you get that. Yeah, you really took that hard. Sorry.
It's okay.
I agree. I don't think we should watch this. Thank you to everybody here in San Diego. You guys are an amazing audience. And just like Theodore Rex, we tell you now, see ya!
Now
you can take out your cameras to your delight. We will take a picture as if we are in the middle of the show. Take these pictures, get your cameras out, do whatever you want. You don't have to take a picture, but you can.
Just terrific.
Thank you guys so much for coming out. A great night here in San Diego. Thank you so much for coming out. For those of you who saw both shows, we love that you guys did that. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's my best impression of Hans Gruber from the Die Hard movies. What does that have to do with our next sponsor? Absolutely nothing. Here's the deal. Hal FM, that's going to be your new favorite place. Bookmark it, motherfuckers. Hal.fm. What is it? Okay, basically, it's a depository for everything that you love podcast related. It has every episode of How Did This Get Made, even the secret ones. It also has everything from Earwolf, plus it has all of Mark Maron's archives, plus it has all these amazing new shows, shows from Lauren Lapkus. That's right. She has an exclusive new show on Howl.fm. It's amazing. Howl originals are coming at you fast and furious. And you ask yourself, well, Paul, this seems too good to be true. I mean, I don't understand. How can I get this? Well, here's the do. Here is the do. No, here's the deal. Okay, you can get access to this amazing site and all of its content on your phone and on your desktop with Howl Premium for only $4.99 a month. Okay, and you use the promo code HDTGM to get a full month free trial. Check it out. I've been behind this and working with people here. It is awesome. You get everything that you ever wanted. And for I call you guys power podcast listeners, for people who are behind a desk and need time to be filled, this is right up your alley. You're going to get podcasts that no one else has even heard of. You're going to get backlogs to things that you haven't been access to in a long, long time. And it's so good. You can use Howl on your phone and on your computer, but you have to use the promo code HDTGM to get that month free. So go to Howl.fm, that's Howl.fm, and use the promo code HDTGM for 1 month free of Howl Premium. Check it out. I think you're really going to like it. It's like Netflix for podcasts.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.
Hey guys, it's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Sashir. What happens if Sashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad.
Oh, no, Nicole. Nicole. No, I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional, but
it's because it's pure to talk about
it
friendship.
Is. It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my god.
It's really sweet.
Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my god, to
it.